Is there such a thing as a cosmic conflict between good and evil? Hello and welcome to Good Word, a commentary produced by the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS. Welcome to the program. Today we begin a whole new series that will last us 13 weeks under the overall title of Growing in Christ. And as I looked over the whole 13 lessons, it seemed to me that the person who wrote that kind of pulled in a lot of things, which we'll get our chance to work our way through. I'm very happy to have as colleagues today a father and son team, John Dibdall, who is a retired professor from the School of Theology and a former president of Walla Walla University, and his son, Paul Dibdall, who is currently a professor in the School of Theology. So, gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for joining me here today. I wonder what you think about this whole idea of a cosmic conflict between good and evil. Are there some passages of Scripture that we might look at? What do you think about it?
Well, it sounds probably familiar to some of us to talk about a great controversy or a great cosmic conflict between good and evil. One of the first passages that I think of related to that is found in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 12. And there, verse 7, we read that there was war in heaven. And as we continue on reading, it talks about a great dragon hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So it sounds to me that there is a kind of cosmic conflict that began in heaven, and that conflict continues here on this earth.
Well, even if you don't mention specific texts, I think it's clear all the way through Scripture that evil and good are in conflict. From Genesis through Revelation, I mean, you have the evil, you have the bad, you have the tendency towards sin, and you have the good portrayed, and God attempting to be on the side of good and to bring good, and Jesus the same. So, and in Jesus, of course, you have the same, you have the demonic, and you have Jesus teaching love, demonstrating love, even going to the cross, and the involvement of the devil in that. So you have this kind of two-sided thing, give and take all the way through Scripture.
Yeah, and I think many people would agree that there is certainly a conflict between good and evil. I guess the intriguing aspect of this is the cosmic dimension. And I think that the passage you mentioned there, Paul, was quite interesting. What are some of the features of the conflict that we might note here today? Like the origin of it, perhaps?
Well, there are a couple of passages that traditionally Christians have turned to try to understand the origins of that conflict. Some Old Testament passages in Isaiah and also in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28 is one that comes to mind. And in both of those cases, there's a judgment, a prophecy which is being pronounced over a certain king. In one case, it's the king of Tyre, and the other, the king of Babylon. And in the process of this judgment, which seems to be on a human king, you have language which suggests this sort of cosmic scope. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were a guardian cherub. These are some of the talking to a human king, but then a kind of, I'm not sure the correct technical word here that an Old Testament scholar might use, but it sort of telescopes up into this more cosmic kind of dimension, clearly speaking of something or someone, a power more than just a human king. Yeah. And with that kind of big lead-in, I guess the punchline here is that in those passages, it seems as if the issue involved pride and a desire to elevate
oneself
above God. So that was me talking, looking over at my father, who's actually an Old Testament scholar, so he can adjust.
Well, I think that what you said was right on. I think the issue here is that we're looking beyond, as you said, the earth is a cosmic conflict. It's not just good and evil. Mm-hmm. Good and evil, I think we can't forget that that's a manifestation of the cosmic conflict. But the cosmic mm-hmm. conflict is saying that there's something even prior to this. There's something at another plane that's going on, an unseen plane, at least to our eyes, a plane that's unseen. And that kind of thing that's going on affects the things that we do see. And I think that very fact is an important thing to remember. We don't see all that's taking place. Our judgments about what's happening in the world is based on our ability to see on the plane we're on. But it's saying that evil and a lot of stuff is happening. And the book of Job brings this in, that something happens to Job on earth, but it's really based on something that's already happened in the cosmic sphere that has a great impact on it.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, as you're just saying, that presumes a multi-tiered universe, that there is a material world or a natural world and also a supernatural world. And I mean, that puts Christianity in some senses at odds with the current popular culture, because so many people are arguing that we've never been able to prove by any empirical means the existence of a supernatural realm. And I'm inclined to ask people, well, what instruments would you use to check for that? You know?
Yeah.
So, so it's interesting, Paul, you were saying that the origins of this conflict are actually demonstrated or illustrated maybe by conflict on earth, and the chief players were the people of God in ancient times and an enemy king. Mm-hmm. And I guess the biblical writers, I sometimes refer to that representation as agency, that mm-hmm. the forces of good have agents mm-hmm. who play particular roles and do particular things on earth, and the force of evil have agents. Mm-hmm. And that kind of creates an interesting scenario for human beings, because apparently we have some latitude for choice. Would you gentlemen agree with that? That human thought and human decision-making, the implication is that human thought and decision-making actually have an effect mm-hmm. on how the great controversy is played out. Yeah. Would you agree mm-hmm. with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and just a simple yes will be good enough, right?
Well, I think, you know, that we need to remember that as this whole thing develops, it answers many questions. If you have this presupposition, it answers a lot of questions. I think it does about evil things that we see. One of the biggest questions people have about God today is, if he's all-powerful and he's loving, why do we have evil in the world and how does that happen and what's the reason for all of that? Why do good people suffer, et cetera, or seeming good people suffer? Mm-hmm. Why do we see people have almost two sides in their nature? I mean, you see people who are good and then they, you know, change sides, so to speak. I think this great controversy, this cosmic conflict scene, solves many practical problems mm-hmm. in relationship to issues about God and about choice.
And why is everything broken? I mean, can you think of anything on this planet that is not somehow imperfect?
Right.
You know, and if we're here merely by natural means, you would think that something would have turned out, you know, in an unbroken manner. But I never forget lying under a tree as a young man. I was resting from some hard work I was doing, and I happened to look up and see the sun shining down through the tree, and I noticed that there was no leaf. I could find no leaf that didn't have a blemish. And, you know, it just struck me that even at something as magnificent as a freestanding tree that's not cut up for power lines and stuff, that it's not, you know, it's damaged, see? And, of course, human relationships are that way. Do you think it's possible for a person to be neutral in this conflict between good and evil? In other words, is it possible for me to find some neutral zone where I don't, where I am free from affect or investment in the conflict between good and evil? I'd just like to let other people do that, and I'd like to be on the sidelines kind of a thing. You think that's a possibility?
I don't see how it is a possibility. If it's a cosmic conflict, then that certainly, I mean, there's no place that I can go that's separate from that conflict, because I'm part of the cosmos. And if it's a conflict between good and evil, those are the two options. So it seems to me like I'm sort of stuck, as it were, not stuck in the middle, but I have to decide which side I will be on.
Okay. It seems like for this, it fits the way it fits with voting in a democracy. You can refuse to vote, but by refusing to vote, you're giving your vote to somebody else. So in fact, you are voting. So
in other words, even if you don't vote, you're not immune from the outcome of the voting.
You're not immune from the outcome, and you have affected the outcome.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a hard thought, isn't it?
So I think that this is certainly true in this cosmic conflict, as Paul said. If it's cosmic, how do you avoid it? And it's, again, we're all called to choose. We're all part of the world, and so we have to choose. And if we don't choose, we are making a choice.
And do you think there's a default position in this conflict? Like if I decide I'm just not going to get engaged, would you argue that there's a default position that I am in, whether I like it or not?
In other words, are you naturally lost or saved?
Well, I wasn't going to put it quite in those terms.
You had sort of a devious look on your face when you asked the question.
But I think it is, you know, I hear people saying, well, I didn't ask to be here, and, you know, I don't want to be involved in this. I just like to live my life in peace. And but it does seem to me that the natural, and I'll answer my own question because you too shied away from it. It does seem to me that there is an inclination toward evil. We as human beings are fascinated by taboos and the things that we're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that or not?
I would agree.
Yeah. I would agree. That's kind of the idea of the what some people call original sin.
Yeah, yeah.
That your default position is the one that's not so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the world is broken.
Yeah.
And so no choice is a choice really to just continue on in that brokenness.
Yeah. So what you're really saying then is if you want to be amongst the righteous, you're faced with some kind of a struggle. Because if we are already born on the wrong side of the tracks or facing the wrong way, and this conflict is cosmic in nature and the devil is involved, it seems like you're suggesting that the life of a righteous person is something of a battle and a march. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
Yes.
Words of Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah.
And John, you brought in the story of Job, which, I mean, it's fascinating that he was a righteous man, and yet he suffered unduly. And certainly you would have to characterize his journey as one of great struggle.
That's right.
Loss of family, loss of relationship, loss of assets, which pales into insignificance ultimately. But he continues on to struggle toward glory. I'm wondering if there is a single key element in the great controversy, but I think our time is running down here. Thank you, John and Paul, for your comments here today, helping us understand this. Our thanks also to Chad Ofterhaar, our engineer. For Good Word, I'm David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.